Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, welcome into hour number three here on a Buffalo Victory Monday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. And we just have some breaking news from the Buffalo Sabres as they have announced that GM Kevin Adams has been fired and he is being replaced by Sabres senior advisor Jarmo Kekäläinen.
in the GM chair. So Kevin Adams out as GM of the Buffalo Sabres. So we now turn our attention back to football. And as scheduled, we welcome in Bills Radio Network color analyst Eric Wood, former Bills center and also host of the Centered on Buffalo podcast. And Eric's appearance is presented by Campbell's Chunky Soup. Big, craveable favorites collide in Chunky Soup's new Mac line featuring flavors like Buffalo-style Chicken Mac, Chili Dog Mac, and Beefy Mac. Stock up for game day now at your local Wegmans. Chunky, the soup that eats like a meal. All right, Eric. Wild game again this week, much like last week. Every bit as wild and every bit as much of a second-half comeback effort as we have seen from this team, which is kind of becoming par for the course. Dangerous way to live, but what can be said about the steely resolve of this battle-hardened Bills team?
Yeah, it shows incredible resiliency when you're willing to do that. As you were talking about the last two broadcasts, I'd love to go back and just kind of hear our tone throughout the broadcast change as the trajectory of the game goes. But that being said, they're making plays down the stretch. The defense has played extremely well in the second half for a majority of this season, but really these last two games making plays down the stretch, and then the offense has come alive too. It's obviously not the way you want to play. You want to start fast. You want to jump on teams. You want to have that win probability be in your favor throughout, but proving to yourself as a team that you can win games like this is valuable. And so this team, you know, Josh Allen said it afterwards, we didn't blink, and they don't, because in their mind, it started with week one. They're never dead. They can come back at any point. Now, like I said, we're getting pretty close to elimination time come playoff time. You don't want to live and die by that, but having a team full of guys that understands that no matter what the circumstances are of the game, we're not out of it. Just stick with the plan, start making plays, obviously, and get it righted. But if we can make the adjustments, even if we fall down really far behind, you have the horses to make it back up.
Yeah, and they fell behind early mostly because, in my view, you know, they started the game with 2-3 and outs, and I mean fast 3 and outs, and then they had a ball for a minute 14 seconds on their first drive. And then they had an 8-play drive for 29 yards, and, you know, and they punted it away. So they started with 3 straight punts to start the game. And we had one caller today, and I agree. It was, you know, the Bills were trying a lot of things. And I get it. When Joe Brady starts this game, you have some stuff scripted. And the results of those plays, not the results so much, but the defensive front that you face and their tactics against you tell you what to do going forward and tell you what they think of your offense. So I get some of that. But man, oh man, even so, it didn't seem like the Bills were inept offensively. It just seems like, you know, the bobbled pass to Cooks down the sideline, a false start on Palmer in the slot, and all of a sudden – it's 2 series, 3 and out, and you're 14 points down. But the offense really didn't even have a chance to get on the rails.
No, you're right. And me and Chris talked about it yesterday. Our margin for error with the talent on this roster right now, with the amount of injuries that we have across the board, the margin for error is not that high to where when Joe Brady scripts up a perfect play call on the first play of the game where New England thinks the Bills are going to establish the run. They got the number one rushing attack in the NFL. You get heavy personnel. They shift from, I believe it was an empty set, or they shift from a spread out set into a condensed set. Everybody in the stadium thinks that the Bills are about to run the football, and then they get their shot one-on-one with Cooks on the crossing route running away from the defensive back. Those are the plays you just got to make right now. We're not making them. And then on their first possession, the ball hits the turf. They get on the football. Sean McDermott said he didn't have – you know, a view of it. And, you know, everyone's giving Sean McDermott a lot of flack for not challenging that. And Max Harrison maybe didn't have a good view of it. But at times as a coach, you need your player in that situation. I'd assume they're telling Max, you know, you got to get your head around on that to help me out from the opposite side, because we're playing on the road here. The New England operators in the stadium, they're not going to put that up on the screen for the head coach to get a look at it. And they, John Perry obviously didn't have a look of at it in the booth either to be able to call down. But, you know, those are big time swings early in the game. That's going to be a 3 and out to start the game for New England. And it's going to put the Bills down close to the red zone, where they ended up going 5 for 5 in the red zone. They actually technically went 5 for 6, but you had to kneel down at the end. So to me, you know, everything went wrong early on and obviously hurt themselves with that offsides, put themselves in tough positions. You're getting some exotic looks from the Patriots. You're not making plays, but give them credit. They adjusted offensively, got back to what they do well, and that's a balanced attack. And I do like when they start to play with some urgency, when they're trying to make their comebacks, they don't completely abandon the run game. That could be a nightmare for an offensive lineman. I've been in those situations many times in my career. It's nice that they're still able to lean into the run game, but you're down 21 points in the second half. You understand there's an urgency that you need to come in and out of the huddle with.
We've seen the last 2 weeks, especially, Eric, this passing game diversify itself and evolve into one that can be very dangerous when targeting tight ends. Last 2 weeks alone, 20 receptions, 207 yards, and 5 touchdowns from the tight ends in the last 2 games alone. What can be said about leaning into that part of their passing game and how much pressure it will put on future opposing defenses to completely shift perhaps their defensive tactics to address this?
Well, I think part of the reason it's been so effective is Joe Brady's doing a great job of mirroring their successful run schemes, exact formations and motions with the play action, which has allowed them to get the defense to bite, to open up some passing lanes. And then guys have simply made plays. You look at that 3rd and 14 yesterday, Josh throws a bullet to Dawson Knox, and that's a heck of a catch by him to take that in for the score. Kincaid had a really difficult catch in the red zone where if he doesn't catch that and he bobbles it, it might be an interception there in the red zone where we might be having a different conversation today. So credit those guys for making plays. But I also think you got to give Joe Brady some credit as well, that as well as they've run the ball out of the 13 personnel, the play action's looking really effective off of it. And when you're looking for answers in the pass game, those have been your answers the last couple weeks, and you got to continue to lean in that. And then as teams try to take that away, okay, well, is it a little softer where we can run the football more effectively? Is there better matchups on the outside where potentially you can use some speed from Cooks to take the top off the defense? Is there more space on the outside? Because now teams are going to have to try to take away those tight ends so much in the pass game.
So we had the conversation as well that since the tight ends have been such a big part, and Hawes got into the act yesterday with a 9-yard reception, and he's an elite run blocker as a tight end. We know that. You got Kincaid and Knox. And then there was times, too, we're seeing it more and more, where Ty Johnson and James Cook are on the field at the same time. In fact, that's what gave him the first down that iced the game, with Ty Johnson on the quick handoff up inside. Having that kind of personnel that is so effective, along with and what I call, it's still unknown to defenses that the Bills will face, what they can do with Josh Palmer, what they can do with Shavers, with Gabe Davis, with the guys we have, Brandon Cooks, Mecole Hardman is still on the right. I mean, they got a lot of guys that their defenses have not seen. Those wideouts at this point, they don't have to do all that much to affect the way a defense is going to have to play this offense. But and any contributions they can give going forward, it's so late in the season, it's going to have exponential effects on defenses, correct?
Yeah, you would assume so. And I thought Shakir had a great game yesterday. Obviously, he got dinged up. He was dealing with a rib and an ankle. And besides the Houston game, hadn't had a great stretch of production. Now, that's a guy who does all the little things for you out there. But, you know, the tackle breaking, the kind of burst that he has out of his routes, you know, it seems like he's getting healthier off that ankle injury. So he had a nice game yesterday. Josh, back to, you know, I always love looking back at after the game. And these aren't all screens to Shakir. These are shots down the field. Had the huge one on fourth down. Had a couple across the middle. And Josh is perfect targeting Khalil Shakir. And he's a weapon out of the slot. And then, yeah, ideally you're going to get more production on the outside moving forward. And likely to make a Super Bowl run, you need it. But like you said, more time under task with Josh throwing to Cooks on the outside. Gabe Davis back in the mix. Can you get something from Keon Coleman? Shavers had the explosion of the game against the Bucks. Can he have a Gabe Davis, Kansas City playoff type game down the stretch where teams ignore him. And then all of a sudden he's making plays down the field. And then Josh Palmer, you know, we saw it on the deep comeback he had yesterday. He makes the DB from New England slip and fall. He does plenty that makes you excited. You just got to keep him on the field consistently. And hopefully him playing last week's a good sign that moving forward, he's going to be available for us.
Flipping it over to the defensive side of the ball, Eric, we've seen this before where the defensive staff huddles up with the defense. They realize how the opposing offense is hurting them and come up with answers that invariably work exceptionally well. And we saw that again yesterday. I think Drake May was as indecisive as perhaps I have ever seen him in his one-plus year of NFL football. And Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott were spinning the dial on him in the second half. I mean, they're running cover 6-1 play. Then it's cover 4 the next play, cover 2 the next play. I don't know if he got the same look twice through the entire third quarter of that football game. And you pick your head up and you look. First of all, they only had 2 possessions in the third quarter because the Bills were stringing out offensive drives. And second of all, it's a punt and an interception as end results on those third quarter when the game really turned. What can you say about the variance of stuff that Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott threw at Drake May?
Yeah, and that's likely got to be our recipe moving forward is that variance. I thought the back end of the defense for the most part yesterday was great again, and that's without Christian Benford out there, who'd been playing like one of the best cornerbacks in the entire NFL. I think since the bye week, Tre'Davious White has really played well, and he's had a consistent season overall. Max Harrison has certainly had his highs throughout, you know, his time getting back from the injury, and then the back end at safety has been a lot more consistent with the combination of Poyer Hancock and then this emergence of Cole Bishop. And so give a lot of credit to the back end of that defense in some of its one-on-one matchups, some of its mixing and matching the coverages. And then the variance in the rushes, you get 2 sacks from Matt Milano in this game. You had some pressures that came from just more exotic looks up front. And then the game sealing play, Joey Bosa and Greg Rousseau, they both drop into coverage. So we bring 2 interior backers. We drop our defensive ends. New England's trying to run a mesh concept with receivers going across the formation from both directions, and nobody's coming open. And part of the reason is because you have help on both sides from both of your edge rushers, and then Joey Bosa adds and tips that ball away. But if he doesn't tip that ball away, that ball's likely getting batted down. There was tight coverage on the back end of that one. So I think this defense, you know, when you consider the amount of injuries that they've had, especially up front, they got to get creative to get pressure on the quarterback. You're likely not just going to be able to rely on a 4-man rush each and every week. And I've appreciated at times how they've been able to manipulate a pass rush or give confusing looks just based upon the variety that they bring each and every week.
Yeah, one of the things about this D-line, and certainly they're not the best pass rushing group in the league because, you know, they've had injuries, they've had all that rotation. But the one thing they do is, aside from the run game, we saw them snap off a couple of the long run there where they lost contain and all that. But in the pass rush, when they have to stay disciplined in their lanes, when they do that cage rush, when they show great discipline in their ability to manipulate a quarterback when it's not, when job one isn't to get him on the ground, but to contain him, like with Lamar, with all these guys, they seem really disciplined and able to work as a unit. Even though the production in sacks isn't there, that may be the only thing they do really well. Like yesterday, when they wanted to keep Drake May from running, yeah, okay, they can do that.
Yeah, they just squeezed the
they
pocket
They just squeezed
down.
The pocket and got a couple of sacks out of it.
And there's value in that for the back end of the defense. If you're playing different types of zones, those zones get distorted when the quarterback gets out on the move. And so by hemming the quarterback in the pocket, that allows everybody to stay more consistent in their zone coverage. And, you know, when Drake May was ripping off long runs early in the game, you're thinking likely we're going to have to do some type of cage rushing the rest of this game. Moving forward, you hope that Joey Bosa's wrist can heal up because he just hasn't been as effective since he injured that wrist, which when you're out there playing with one hand, that can be extremely difficult. He did make the game-changing sack against the Steelers, but the production's been way down since. I thought Greg Rousseau had a couple nice pass rushes yesterday. One of them, he misses the sack, but it leads to the Milano sack because of the pressure created by Rousseau. But yeah, to your point, I mean, you have Ed Oliver and Michael Hoyt out there. This is a totally different game plan come obvious pass rush situations, but I've appreciated how they've leaned into different ways to give different looks up front, maybe bring different guys off the edges or up the middle, and moving forward, continue to lean into that. I don't know if this looks like a Todd Bowles defense by the end of the season where guys are coming from everywhere and you don't know where they're coming from, but I think this has been a kind of a consistent of Sean McDermott and this Bills organization under Sean McDermott is adapting to your talent. I mean, you consider how this offense has evolved over time, and right now the strength of this offense is James Cook, the linemen, your tight ends groups. Okay, we're going to play 13 personnel and 22 personnel. We're going to get really big, and maybe that's the plan heading into the season anyways, but adapting to your talent is one of the best things that you can do as an organization, as a coaching staff. And when you look at this defense right now and you're adapting to some crippling injuries, and you know, yesterday when you look at it, Ed Oliver is probably your most disruptive defensive lineman up front. Terrell Bernard, I know Shaq Thompson's having a great season, but overall, you, coming into the season especially, you'd say Terrell Bernard's your best linebacker, your best second-level player. Your best guy in the secondary, Christian Benford. You're without all three of them. Okay, now we got to get creative, and I appreciate, I know it's an extremely slow start, and I'm not giving this team or this side of the ball a complete pass on giving up 24 points and 285 yards in the first half, but to be able to adapt, to be able to regroup and say, okay, here's how we're going to attack them and to execute it, you can't dismiss that.
Last one from me, Eric, concerns special teams. And for the last month, Ray Davis has led the league in kick return average, and he came up big yesterday, four returns for 164 yards, and the huge spark he provided to start the second half. And special teams coordinator Chris Tabor with some wrinkles in the kick return game, making Ray Davis a single returner with an up man. Most of the time was Reggie Gilliam, but on the 58-yarder to start the second half, it's Alec Anderson. And they completely walled it off and made a difference. What can you say about the wrinkles they put in the return game?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, Ray Davis, you talk about making the most of your opportunities, and James Cook having an absolutely incredible season this year. So he's not getting maybe the carries that he expected coming into the year at the running back position. So he's evolved into maybe the best kick returner in the league. And he's a weapon back there. He truly is. The Bills started, I believe, three drives yesterday in Patriots territory because of his kick returns. Now, give credit to Coach Tabor, give credit to the guys blocking. You don't do that by yourself. But Ray Davis, leading the league in kickoff return average, has been a spark for this team. And Josh Allen was asked after the game in his press conference, you know, what was kind of the moment where you felt the momentum start to turn? Well, they're still down 24-7. Josh said the opening kickoff of the second half, the energy that provided. And so give Ray Davis some credit. I'm a huge fan of his. I remember him running a kickoff back in college against my Louisville Cardinals when he was playing against the Kentucky Wildcats. I knew he had it in him. I'm just glad to see him develop into that type of return man here in the pros. I've also seen him in pregame warmups back there with Shakir working on catching punts too. So potentially have that in his future as well.
All right, Eric, Cleveland, next up on the thing. Got to go down there. You're going to travel to Cleveland with Brownie here, do the game from Cleveland. An offense that's struggling down there, but certainly a defense led by Myles Garrett, presents all kinds of problems. You know, what at 1,000 miles away, what are your thoughts about this next game on the road?
Yeah, you got a team that's eliminated from the playoffs. You got to jump on them early. You don't play with fire here. This is a young football team. They got a bunch of young talent on this team. Don't give Shador Sanders, don't give some of these young guys on offense a bunch of confidence. Make them feel early on like we're going to get nothing throughout this game. And then similar to how we were talking about TJ Watt, and even more so going against Myles Garrett, it's all hands on deck. Keep him as well as you can away from Josh. You're going to likely script your run plays depending on where he's at, to where, okay, if we're going to run zone, if he's going to generally be on our right-hand side and we're going to run zone, or sorry, he'll generally be on our left-hand side. If we're going to run a zone play, maybe run it to the left, assuming it's going to cut back. Maybe we run duo to the right, thinking it's going to stay more play side. And you don't want to pigeonhole yourself and make it too easy on the defense to know which way you're going every time, but saw against the Steelers, it worked out pretty well doing that. So he's the type of guy you want to have all hands on deck. Everybody is going to recognize where he's at each and every snap. When we used to play against Aaron Donald, similar to how I would identify the Mike linebacker in every play, I would identify where Aaron Donald is on every single play. Mike's 51, there's 99. Well, this week I'd do that with him. Just make him feel like every play we're getting four hands at least on you on each and every play. We're not going to let you wreck this game. He needs what? A sack and a half to break the single. Is it one or one and a half? Okay, so he needs one to tie it, one and a half to break the single season sack record. You don't want to have that be done at your expense here this weekend. So you'll go for that. And I don't think Josh Allen will have a Brett Favre moment in this one where he takes a dive to give it to Myles Garrett.
I'd rather have him do that than to try to get out of one of them.
No doubt. I mean, not everybody loves watching the trenches. I get it. I watch the quarterbacks and I watch the ball most of the time too. But there's some breakdowns on social media of Trent Williams and Myles Garrett going at it a couple weeks ago when the 49ers played the Browns. I mean, you want to talk about a matchup there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big boy football. And I know, Trent Williams 8 years ago probably would have put up a better fight through that one and maybe doesn't even give up anything. He gave up at least a sack, I know, in that one. And Myles Garrett crushed Brock Purdy on one early on in the game. But regardless, special player. And I'll say this about Myles Garrett. Generally, when you have a guy that is 6'4", 290 pounds, can run a 4.4, generally, those guys don't have a very high motor because they never needed it. It's like it just wasn't developed through high school and college. They get to the NFL and maybe they chase that contract and then they shut it down. I have so much respect for this dude because generally they're eliminated from the playoffs at this point of the season. And he plays, he goes after field goals each and every time. His relentless effort to me is special. I've never met him in person. I would just assume I'd get along with a dude like that. If to have that amount of talent and all the tangibles and then bring that type of work ethic, wow. I'm extremely impressed by him.
Eric, thanks for the time as always. We're up against the break, so we'll step aside and catch up with you next week. I'll see you up in Cleveland.
All right, sounds good. Looking forward to it. You guys have a great week. You
too. All right, that's Eric Wood joining us, Bills radio color analyst on the Bills radio network. We're back to your phone calls when we return here on this Buffalo Victory Monday on One Bills Live. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Five-man rush, as time steps up, and he's caught in the pocket and dragged down for the sack. Matt Milano pulls him down, and it's the punt unit time for the Patriots.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of, well, I should say after, the Bills come from behind win to beat the New England Patriots, a 35-31 score. Chris, good morning. Is anybody that surprised? Are you all that surprised from 21-0 to where we are right now?
I mean, a little bit. But I did say at halftime, you know, the Bills have been a second-half team all season long. And some of the first halves this season have been downright ugly. And that one was ugly. There's no other way to shape it or frame it. But I knew that the Bills led the league in second-half point difference, plus 95. And they did it last week against the Bengals. They did it again this week against the Patriots. And when you look up, they're plus 21 in the second half. And, I mean, they have the ability to come back on teams that think the game is over. And, you know, you got Stephon Diggs and Mac Hollins jaw-jacking people and bouncing around on the sidelines. And there was a little extracurricular activity at the end of the half going into the locker room. Between some Bills linemen and some Patriots players. And some of the players in the locker room after the game said, yeah, we heard it. We heard it. And I'm just going to say it. Rudy Tomjanovich, the old Houston Rockets head coach, used to say, never underestimate the heart of a champion. And I know the Bills are only division champs, but we knew what was on the line yesterday. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. They challenged them and they paid for it.
What do you think, because this is another time we've seen it, Chris. We've seen it a lot this season. Best explains their improvement from the first to the second half, especially on defense, because the defense seems like it's doing it even more than the offense is, that they get off to a slow start and then the second half. I mean, other than, I counted, Chris, that other than the 65-yard run from Travion Henderson, it was 17 plays and 15 yards for New England's offense. Like, they've shut teams down like that a lot.
Yeah. Patriots had three first downs in the second half. So I think what happens is they go into a game with a game plan defensively, and obviously every team's going to have some wrinkles that you're not prepared for. And this was a team with an offensive staff that's coming off a bye week, had an extra week of time to throw some new wrinkles into the game plan. And, yeah, they caught the Bills flat-footed, had them – crossed up on a lot of stuff in the first half, but I think this coaching staff on both sides of the ball for the most part, but particularly on defense, as soon as they know what it is that you are doing and how you are hurting them, they come up with corrections that completely neutralize what you're doing, and they gain the upper hand over the final two quarters. And with the capabilities of this quarterback and this offense, all they need to do is get three or four stops, and you can climb back into a game rather quickly, and we've seen it time and time and time again.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. What is it that you think they saw New England doing that they thought they could stop. Like, just as simple as, we think we can cover these receivers and, you know, find our pass rush eventually. They wanted to cage Drake May in. To me, that was the biggest difference between the first and second half, Chris, was like, May did not seem as eager to run, or maybe didn't have the space to run, but that's what stopped in the second half.
Yeah, I think it was a more disciplined pass rush in the second half. They kind of took an approach to May that they have taken to Lamar Jackson in previous matchups with the Ravens. And so the escape lanes weren't there for him to not only take off and run, but to extend plays. They constricted the pocket and did not recklessly try to get to the quarterback. And that put him in moments of indecision. And there have not been many moments for Drake May this season where he has been unsure of what he's looking at and unsure of where to go with the football. And that was as indecisive as I have seen Drake May all season long because of it.
Was there a moment, Chris, in this game where you felt, you might have thought the whole time, like, they have a chance of coming back? Was there ever a point, what was the moment where you're like, okay, they're going to win this game?
As soon as it was 24-14, you could see it going. I mean, you could see it coming from a mile away. I mean, Dawson Knox executes that route where he crashes in like he's going to block and then pivots out along the goal line. And you could just see the Bills sideline. Everything had completely flipped momentum-wise. The crowd got awfully quiet, awfully fast. And that's when you could just see the whole thing turning. You could feel it in the building. A lot of nervous Patriots fans, and it just kind of went from there. And look, I know the 65-yard run by Henderson late might have broken the backs of a lot of teams, but I think you have to really credit the resolve of this football team. Like, I know a lot of teams out there can say it, and some of the Bills players said it yesterday, we don't blink. They really don't blink, guys. Like, okay, yeah, all right, we screwed up on that play. You know, we didn't set the edge. We didn't hold contain. All right, let's just go down and get a touchdown and put this thing to bed. And, I mean, to be able to perform that way in those circumstances in a game of those stakes really says something. And I want to throw this in, guys, because, as you know, our broadcast booth is very close to the lower bowl of the stands. Literally 10 feet below us are fans. And there's a walkway right beneath us behind the last row in the bowl. And they're filing out as soon as James Cook scores on that 11-yard run. You know, with 6:48 left, they're filing out. And I was just, and so I noted that on the broadcast, and I said it very, very loud on purpose. I also, at the end, was very sure to say in a loud voice that there's no division title being handed out today. Yeah, I would. Let's just say I was laying it on thick.
Yeah.
And I had every intention of doing that on purpose because I'm not going to lie. I try to be as objective as I can. You know, we all try to maintain our credibility as journalists, but that just felt too good. I had to let it out.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The thing I've been saying today, and I wonder if you'd agree with this, Chris, like, the Patriots still very much could win the division. If they beat the Jets and the Dolphins, they will win it. But that said, it's different. It would have been different for them. It would have been much more crowning to have swept the Bills and do it with three games left. Now, if they got to go to week 18 and win it there, like, this just, it's just, I know it's the same accomplishment on, you know, they can put a banner up there if they want to for division champs. But for the general conversation, and if there's another game, the Bills are going to be favored in New England again. Like, it just feels like they had a moment and it got away from them, and they're not going to get it back maybe until they beat the Bills in a playoff game.
Right. And look, we all know that this Bills team is flawed, maybe as flawed as any team in the last handful of years. The Patriots have flaws too. And I think that was revealed on Sunday. They don't have anybody to rush the passer with any great authority. I mean, Harold Landry's a nice player, but he's not elite. You know, they have good cover corners on the outside, but their linebackers and safeties are nothing special in coverage. And you take one defensive tackle out of their run front, and they're giving up almost a yard and a half more per run play since Milton Williams left the lineup and went on IR. Like, one guy completely changes the scope of your defense. Think of all the people the Bills have been without in their lineup this season. The Patriots are flawed. They're not perfect either. And there's a lot of flawed teams across the AFC. So this thing is as wide open as I can remember. So, you know, yes, the Bills have some issues. We all know what they are. But they got one of the best, they got the best quarterback in the game and perhaps the best quarterback on the AFC side of the ledger. If Lamar doesn't make it in, we already know Mahomes is out. So just enjoy the ride, people, because yep, nothing's perfect. And I don't think this AFC playoff race is going to be anything perfect either.
That's right. Chris Brown joining us here after Bills-Patriots. They split the season series. Next up are the Bills, the Browns. Chris, thanks very much, and we'll talk Friday.
All right, take care, guys.
Chris Brown, his appearance is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Northtown Volkswagen, Western New York's number one VW dealership. Shop online at northtownvw.com. And by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. We should go back and get the clip of him saying, just like trolling the fans, and they're leaving! They're leaving! Let's pull that up. Hey, if they can hear you.
It's a nice fan base to have that situation with, I would say, only 10 feet away.
Listen, I have a lot of respect for what the Patriots have done, Drake May, Mike Vrabel. Again, it is like year one for them, and they're off to a good start. I do, however, think it meant a little far, like the Chris Sims clip of all. Oh, that's the most complete team in the AFC.
Oh, man.
Like, I had not heard a single person say that until he said that yesterday. Like, please. They're definitely not complete. They need a lot of the same things the Bills need. All right, like,
I had been looking for my to regain my Patriots loathing, basically. Like, how do I get back to that? Because I think May, Vrabel, very likable. Yep. I don't have a problem with Diggs personally. I don't have a problem with Mac Hollins personally. Like, there's nothing about that team that is hateable to me.
The shoeless walk in the stadium.
You know what did it for me? Who was the play-by-play in color yesterday again? Who was on color for Bills and Patriots?
Wasn't J.J. Watt? Was J.J. Watt?
I think it was J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt might have got me there. J.J. Watt screaming at the top of his lungs about Drake May running to block for Travion Henderson. Like, it was the greatest play he's ever seen in NFL history. That might have got me there a little bit. Like,
he was running pretty fast. He was going pretty fast.
He didn't even block Trey White.
He got in the way.
Trey White wasn't getting there anyway.
No, listen, if you've not yet seen Phillip Rivers stand up from one knee, to me, it's the NFL highlight of the year. It's the highlight of the year.
It was so slow, too.
Listen, I know it because that's how I stand up on one knee. You got to hunch forward to make sure you get that over the front leg.
Yep.
When he stood up on one knee, I laughed out loud. I gasped.
I don't think they can. They can't put him out there again. They can't put him out there again.
Yeah, why not? They had a 16-15 lead on the road.
I gotta give you the play-by-play at the end of that game. They also settled for a 60-yard field goal on purpose because they were so afraid to keep running plays with him. They had the ball. What was their situation? Okay, they have the ball. Rivers made one great pass on that final drive. They're down 16-15 with the 2-minute warning. They go run, Rivers incomplete. Rivers then hits Alec Pierce for the first down. Best throw of the game. So now they have the ball at midfield. The Colts are down a point. There's a minute 12 on the clock. They have the ball at midfield. Here's what they did. Jonathan Taylor up the middle for no gain. Phillip Rivers pass short. Tylan Warren, 3 yards. They have 3rd and 7 at the Seattle 46 with a minute to go, and they ran the ball up the middle for 3 yards and settled for a 60-yard field goal with 50 seconds left. They couldn't run a real offense because they were so afraid of him getting hit, or I don't know. It is a good defense they played, though.
Yes. 803-0550, our number. Wide open phone lines for you. You can jump in if you want. We're were on like Sabres News Watch too.
Are they heading home? They're probably heading home today, right?
All right.
I doubt they headed home last night.
Right. Spend the night, Seattle. Get up, fly back today. So maybe that news comes tomorrow, if that news comes.
Or later today. And if it even does. They're on a win streak.
Three in a row.
Not sure it matters, but.
They are in last. 803-0550.
They've been in last a lot this year.
Yes, yes. Their projected pace is 82 points.
I mean, that's better than some of these drought seasons.
Yes, it is.
Zach Benson's scoring, by the way.
Congratulations to him.
He's really ruining what would have been the funniest thing ever, which was 0 goals and 70 assists season. That's what I was rooting for.
That?
I was rooting for that.
They beat Vancouver. They beat Seattle, home for Philly, who is in a playoff spot right now. They're calling it a...
No. Shut it off.
I'll wait till Thursday. One way or another, we're calling that thing a must-win.
We're going to do it. We can't allow him to do it again.
Listen.
We can't allow him to do it again.
I'll lay it out very quickly. If they have not made the managerial change, I'm calling it a must-win to get a loss to get this thing moving. And if they have made the managerial change, then it's a new era, baby, and it's time to win.
But you're admitting to your own jinx power. By admitting...
I would be using the jinx power for good in one scenario, and in the other scenario, it's a new regime. It's wide open.
You think that cancels out your jinx power?
Yeah, a new regime. Yep. Totally.
All right, Thursday will be the test.
That's right. One way or another.
If they do it and you call it a must-win on Thursday and they lose, you have to agree to never do it again.
I'm definitely not agreeing to that. No way. 803-0550. It's Buffalo Bills Victory Monday here on WGR.
We stayed the course, stayed together, didn't ride the highs, didn't ride the lows, just told ourselves at halftime, you know, we really felt like we were hurting ourselves in the first half, you know, going out there and just trying to execute each and every given play. Score, stop, score. I think that's what we did coming out. You know, I think we've been pretty dang good at that over the course of the season. Now, obviously, we want to start faster. We don't want to continue to put ourselves in these holes that we're finding ourselves in. But being able to dig ourselves out and be battle-tested, come down the stretch here, we'll have to find ways earlier on in the game to get things going so we don't have to put ourselves in that situation.
Sounds right. Josh Allen moves up to second or tied for second in the MVP odds with yesterday's performance in New England, tied with Drake May. Matthew Stafford is still the favorite, or if he wasn't, he was top two there for a couple of weeks. Rams over the Lions yesterday in a blast of a late game. Detroit is 25% to make the playoffs. Yep. Kansas City is 0. Baltimore is less than 50. Detroit, I mean, we got to get them in. They're fun. No? You don't think so?
I like them, but I don't care enough to rise to the level of got to get them in. You know, fine.
Who's over there that we would replace with Detroit?
Someone not as dangerous.
Seattle?
Fun can be equated with dangerous. Geez, I don't know. Yeah.
What happened there? Did you watch any of that with Rivers?
Yeah. I mean, they won.
I didn't see any of it.
They just couldn't. Neither team could really move the ball, and like they won with 6 field goals, Seattle. So just one of those days.
They almost lost to Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yeah. 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 There was a go-ahead touchdown with less than a – or go-ahead field goal, excuse me. Rivers, you know, got them close enough for that with like 40 seconds or so to go, I think, 47 maybe.
60 yards.
Yeah. Seattle got the ball back and got their own 50-some yarder, I think, to win it.
I was at a place where there were lots of TVs and they all had the Broncos game. Why would you do that?
I don't know. Yeah, you want to at least get me a give me a red zone channel or something.
But if not red zone,
if you're not equipped, Fox. At least the other game. Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah, that Ram game, coming out of halftime, they're like, boy, this is going to be great, and then the Rams just kind of put them down. It felt like to me like it was not as great. The Green Bay Denver game was a tighter, more tense game. The Rams just sort of, I don't know, swatted Detroit away as the game went on.
I thought Detroit was the right side there. I liked it when you picked the Rams, but you got there. You did it. Correct. Winner. Pay that man his money. Your friends who know Rounders, are they going to text you? Do I need to do the accent? Pay that man his money.
not even good.
Chris is with us. Hello, Chris.
You sound all right to me.
What's up, fellas?
Hi, Chris.
In South Carolina here, it's a NASCAR country, and, you know, kind of grew up noticing that like Dale Earnhardt Jr., for instance, would come out with a strong car at the beginning of the race, and then as he would try to tell the guys in the pit, you know, what needed to be done every time he come in, it's like they was never able to take what he give them and be able to put that information into the car, because when he would come back out, the car would be struggling. I think McDermott is the exact opposite of that. I honestly think that he is the reason for the turnaround the second half of each game that we get put in behind the eight ball. Is I think that he's able to breathe for a minute and get back there with the guys and just be able to talk about what's going on without being caught up in the game. One thing I wanted to ask you guys is there anything that you see that we can maybe do on the offensive side of the ball? Because how could it be, I mean, everybody sees the same game, but how could it be such a struggle every week, week in and week out, and then, you know, five straight drives? I mean, what is it if you guys are seeing on the offensive side of the ball that we're doing different? Because the same bubble screens that's not popping are popping. And I'm not so sure that it's the way that we set up the plays in the first half and it's just coming through for us in the second. What do you guys think on the offensive side of the ball? And do you agree with McDermott maybe being able to just fine-tune everything, you know, not saying by himself, but I would like to put that in his lap.
Well, it's hard to argue with their success coming out of the locker room on defense. And a few of these games that this happened in that I'm even referencing comparing to yesterday are losses. And maybe the biggest reason it worked before yesterday and why yesterday is maybe more significant is that New England has been a good team this year. They have had a great season, and they're not Atlanta, and they're not Houston's nice, but their offense with Mills or Stroud is not like this super dangerous unit. So tightening it up when you're down big against those teams, I think it takes some doing, and the coaching staff should get credit for it, but it largely goes out the window because the offense couldn't get off the mat. I think they've done a tremendous job at that. I mean, there's a lot of different accounting of what happened yesterday. The looks that they gave Drake May in the second half, never the same thing twice. I'm hearing Dan Orlovsky saying, I don't know if that's 100% accurate or a bit of an exaggeration, but they mixed them up and did a great job. The offensive struggles early in games, I don't really know what to tell you. I mean, yesterday began, the first play they ran probably should have been a touchdown.
Cooks?
Yeah. So what went wrong? I mean,
he didn't catch it.
You know, the start of the game, New England gets the benefit of no sky ref involvement and a quick snap, and they hang on to a long reception that converts a third down. The Bills hit a play that, again, the guy's open, and if he catches it clean, should be able to outrun the defender to the end zone, but he bobbles it, and review comes in, and it doesn't stand. I mean, circumstantially, those are things that happened in the game that led to it being as one-sided as it was, but it doesn't explain game over game what the struggle is offensively early. I don't have an answer for you, like a direct answer. I don't know. It's the same personnel. It's the same guy calling plays. It might be the same as what happens on defense. This is what they're doing to us. Here's what we need to do to counteract that. I'm not sure why that has to take until halftime to happen, but maybe that's as easy an explanation as there is.
I think the point about their defense might have merit. And I'm using the fact that they punted those two times early yesterday as perhaps proof of that. Like, that he wants to evaluate and then eventually we'll make adjustments and we'll get there. It's just living on the wire. I mean, I still don't love the thought that the chances of this team winning all these playoff games this way. I mean, Cincinnati had them, but for a couple of fluky plays. And then yesterday, it's 21-0. So you don't want to live like that. Maybe this McDermott probably gets underrated for what he's actually done with the fourth down stuff and aggressiveness. But there's plenty of ammunition on the other side. And what they're doing, punting across midfield twice in the first quarter yesterday, I mean, never gets brought up because they won anyway. Like, that's just you're really playing it careful there. And this is, it's not the same example of it, but this is the problem that so many fans have with all of this, whether it's in the form of who's on the field or these kind of decisions by the coach. We're keeping lesser teams in games unnecessarily for too long because we want to punt or we want to, you know, adjust later. And I don't know, I'm oversimplifying probably. What happened yesterday, the first drive, you mentioned the Cooks drop. The second is their third and four, and Palmer has a false start. Then they get sacked, and, like, that's the end of that. So it's not so much philosophical necessarily as it is just attention to detail and sort of being sharp at the beginning of games. And on some level, this is in preparation. This is, whether it's game plan or just something else, getting your players ready to go right away, because they have this security blanket or whatever it is now that's not, what do I want there? Safety net? This kind of belief maybe that they can just beat anybody anyway. And, you know, and it makes sense because they do. Even the game in Miami or the game in Houston, like, there's still, like, chances to come back and win. There's just a turnover or a sack or a penalty.
Or a big run play.
Yeah, and you just run out of time.
Ultimately undid them in Miami, but that's right.
If it were like a card game or something where you would be able to keep playing your cards until you're done, or cricket, then they maybe would never lose. But they run out of time sometimes. That doesn't work, does it? But that's not something that should go on the air. The card game.
I don't theory. Even. Yeah, I don't know how.
Cricket.
I don't really.
You just keep batting.
I don't know how cricket works. Right. I know the games last days sometimes. I don't know that.
If these games lasted days, the Bills would never lose. Cameron is next. Hi, Cameron.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm a caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering, you know, playoffs are coming up soon. We have a big receiver room. We need some depth, but it really just seems like it's been Shakir or nothing. I like these three tight end sets, but in the playoffs, when we need that big throw, I don't know if we can trust Jackson Hawes to be out there making catches. I want to see more from Coleman. I want to see more from Gabe Davis. Brendan Cooks, you know, he's come, but he doesn't play, but I haven't really seen much. So I'm just wondering, do you guys think for the playoffs, what are we going to do with the receiver room?
Cross your fingers. I'm not being cute. I mean, they've done what they can do. They picked up guys that were on the street. Hardman is still on the roster. Like, he
I can't wait for the playoffs to come down to him.
I think he will have a role here. Yeah, I don't know. Oof. I mean, at least it's possible that he will. He didn't just, you know, come here, get hurt, and go be sent away. Maybe they will waive him as soon as he's healthy. I don't know. But he's here. They grabbed Cooks a couple weeks ago. This is their receiver room, for better or worse, and it's mostly been for worse. So I don't think anything's going to change that. I think you better hope that Dalton Kincaid can, you know, do what he's done most of the year, which is be impactful on minimal snaps. It's nice that they have found a way to, like, you know, get Knox involved, and that's helping. Ugh. But that's it. That's who I am on offense.
Thanks. I hate it. Coleman isn't in the book. There was a target that didn't count, right? There was a penalty or something.
He drew a pass interference, so they got a first down out of it.
So he doesn't get credit for a target in this game. That was the only one. Cooks, three targets, zero. It's been this way for a couple of weeks, if not 5 years, two. Six completions to receivers yesterday, five to Shakir, one to Palmer. Everything else is running backs and tight ends. I don't know. I can't lie. Like, to me, this is not a good trait. 35 points. Are we going to set the franchise record again? Maybe. Is that even in the window? Points per game or total points for the season? Maybe it is. I don't know. It's the same every year. And what has happened in other years is we sit here after these wins, they're almost always wins, and we go, oh, geez, what about this and this and this and this? And then we feel bad about that, because, like, what's, you're not happy? Like, what's the problem? And then they have lost in the playoffs, and we're like, you see? Maybe this year they won't. Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Eric Wood in 20 minutes. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I mean, he was vibing out there. You probably felt him up in the box. I mean, two sacks. Bobby made those two calls, and Matt cashed in. So it was good to see. He's been working his tail off to get himself back to where he was today. So I credit him and all the training staff and everything.
That is Sean McDermott after the game, asked about Matt Milano. He was vibing, he said. How about the hit he had to force the fumble on the sidelines? He drilled back Hollins. Forced a fumble. I was looking at the stat sheet after the game, like, wait, when did Matt Milano force a fumble? Did the ball come out on one of the sacks? No, because he drilled Mac Hollins, and it came out. I gave Matt Milano an arrow up. If you go to my arrow up, arrow down column, he actually was the Bills' leading tackler with 10 tackles. He was credited with two quarterback hurries, a forced fumble, that one, and, of course, he had the two huge sacks. One of them was one arm taking Drake May down. The Bills did a great job of being creative to send Matt Milano some blitz. He's a good blitzer. They don't love to blitz him. He's good sideline to sideline, and you want him available there, but did a nice job. The Bills mixed and matched their linebackers with spies. Folks, the game within the game yesterday, the Bills defensive coaches did a great job once the game was 21-0 to mix and match, get spies, linebackers, the way they use their personnel. They just did a really good job right there. Matt Milano, been with the team since 2017. So has Tre'Davious White, and of course he took a hiatus and came back. Got his first interception since 2023, September of 2023. Great play on a deep ball down the sidelines. Gave the ball back to the Bills. They were down 3 points near the end of the third quarter when it happened. Then they marched 91 yards to take their first lead of the game. Finished with two tackles, including one for a loss and a pass breakup. And folks, how about this? Not the OG, because he hasn't been here very long. Second year. Ray Davis. I've gone this whole time. We've talked about offense and defense and coaching and talent challenges. And the special teams for the Bills were special yesterday. They dominated what is very, very highly regarded, a very highly regarded New England Patriots special teams unit. The Bills dominated them yesterday. Let me give you the ways why. How about the new kickoff formation? Going with one kick returner, Ray Davis, an up man and a fullback, Reggie Gilliam. Not two returners with Ty Johnson back there. This allows and helps Ray Davis average 41 yards a kick return. Helps set the Bills up for great field position, including at the Patriots' 42-yard line to start the second half, which led, or 42-yard line in the first half when they were down 21-0, led to a score, which was huge. Needed that. So Chris Tabor doing a great job there with that wrinkle. Then you have Mitch Wishnowsky, punted four times. Three of them landed, get this, and wound up Patriots starting drives, own 12, own 6, own 17-yard lines, three inside the 20. Beautiful. Maybe most impressively, it was containing Marcus Jones on punt returns. Marcus Jones came into the game as one of the league's leading, I think he was number two, because he's still number two today, in punt returns average. 17.3 yards a return he's averaging coming into the game, or at least after, I guess, but 17.3 he's averaging. The Bills held him to 5 yards on two returns, 2.5 yards of total returns. Average. So the Bills won the field position battle big time in this game. Their own 39, Patriots own 25. Matt Prater, 5 for 5 in Hicks kicks, all extra points in the snow. Big time game from the special teams yesterday. And now, after that, Ray Davis leads the NFL in kick return average. Ray Davis, by a wide margin. He's the only player in the league right now averaging over 30 yards a kick return. And he's averaging 32. Pretty crazy. They've found a great role for him. Sorry, Tom, if I stole your thunder. You wanted to talk about Ray Davis. I see it on my screen. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I know, Sal. You just stole that away from me. You know, I was going to say a lot of what you said there is that it was, you know, a nice little role for him. And he really, you know, the only thing I'll add is, you know, they did get that touchdown in the first half, and he was a very large part of it, of giving them great field position with his nice little return. And I don't think he was the type of back any of us ever thought would be.
That's right.
We think of pure speed guys being kick returners, and obviously he's fast, but, you know, in terms of NFL running backs, he's not this crazy speed guy. And, you know, like you said, it looks like he's really, you know, he hit the touchdown, and I thought he was going to actually break one of them yesterday, and but, you know, still, you know, he popped off a couple 30, 40, man, I think one even the 50-yard return, so that's great.
Yeah, but you got it.
Also joining some of what you were saying about the coaches, and you know, it just sometimes gets kind of frustrating and maddening because, as you said, there's things you can criticize about everybody, including the coaches, and obviously the way they've started, the team started the last few weeks isn't good. But also by the same token is, you know, you have things that happen, you know, and I don't want to just single out Brandon Cooks, but he had that drop. And I really, you know, I tend not to think that McDermott or Brady called the Brandon Cooks drop the deep pass play on that. And, you know, yeah, there's things the coaches could do better for sure. But let's just not leave the players out of this too. And also at the end of the day, they made their adjustments, came out and won. So, yeah, you know, we can always point out things they should do better and can do better, and that's fine. It just seems like with some people, it's their entire focus right now. And I know, what was it last week? You're calling it the agony of victory or the misery of victory or whatever. And it's really right back. You think, you know, you just beat the Patriots, great comeback, kept alive, you know, slim chances, but chances to win the AFC East. And it just seems like some of these people just would rather be angry and miserable and instead of just saying, well, that was great. I wish they did this, this, and this better. But overall, they also did these 10 things that were great, and I'm happy. And I don't know. Maybe it's just as I'm getting older, I just don't want to be miserable all the time.
But, I love it. I love it. Don't be miserable. You know that, buddy. You know that. Thanks for the call.
So, you know, now I'm heading out to Cleveland next week.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to Cleveland, man? I know you like to take these road trips when they're a little closer, too.
Yeah, I'm very much leaning towards it, working on that right now, seeing, you know, for some reason, ticket prices in Cleveland are going down. So it's, you know.
Well, hey, it's the Browns aren't having the best year, but you will get a chance to maybe see Myles Garrett break the sack record. You hope it's not at the expense of the Bills. We'll see about the weather as well. Tom, have a great week, buddy.
You too, bye.
All right, you got it. Let's go to Mark in West Seneca. Hi, Mark, you're on WGR.
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
See if you can follow my logic on this here with the standings, because I think that we could have maybe an interesting situation coming up here. If the Bills beat Cleveland, as they should, if Baltimore beats New England, which certainly is very possible, and I'm even going to tack on if Denver beats Jacksonville at home this week, I think that could set up kind of an interesting situation, because the Bills would win the division if they beat the Jets and New England loses one of the last two games, regardless of what the Bills do against Philadelphia. The Bills would have a wild card clinched, regardless of what happens with Philadelphia, and I tacked on Denver winning, because that would really take the one seed out of play. I wonder if those three games fall the way that I said this coming week, I wonder if the Bills would treat the Philadelphia game as a borderline bye week, rest a lot of guys, because there literally would be nothing to play for. It would really.
I don't know if that's true. I have to think about this, because if New England loses to, are you saying, wait, say if Baltimore beats New England, you're saying, or Baltimore?
Right.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Right.
If Baltimore beats New England, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I'm a little confused and everything. Saying here's the bottom line. I don't think the Bills would treat anything like a bye week right now. They want to be playing their best football. Maybe week 18, they back off on some guys if they don't have a chance to win the division. But they're going to keep playing until they're mathematically eliminated from the division. I think that would still matter to them from this standpoint. If I'm right on this, it just gives the Bills a little more wiggle room to actually lose to the Jets if that happens, to be honest with you. No, I guess it wouldn't, because they'd have another division loss, right?
On this here. Yeah,
another division loss. You're right. I don't know. I'm sorry, Mark. It's too much math for me right now. I'm sorry. I don't think they would do that. I just think the mentality of it. I hear what you're saying mathematically. I just don't think the mentality of it that they would do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the Bills had such an early bye week this year.
Yeah, I know.
I also think I'm right that the two times the Bills made the AFC Championship game were the two times they were able to treat the last game of the season, like last year, as a borderline bye week. I think there's value. I mean, look at all the injuries the Bills have had.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's value. You know, it can spin it and maybe it's something to think about. But I think that Philly game would really become irrelevant and maybe an opportunity to rest guys that – there can be value in that.
Yeah, you never know. I guess I understand where you're coming from. I can't necessarily see it right now, but I'm open to thinking about it a little bit more, Mark. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's get to our the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Only thing that I saw yesterday on the sidelines we had officially was Jordan Phillips' ankle injury. It was questionable to return. Then seemed like he might have been able to go back in the game. I'm not sure if he actually took a snap after that, but he was questionable. That was it. And then after the game, my colleague Elena Getzenberg of ESPN.com reported that she saw Brandon Cooks going into the x-ray room. Nothing has come from that so far we know of. We'll hear from Sean McDermott later. I'll say this. It's not uncommon for guys to get x-rays after a game. Something could be wrong or maybe not. But sometimes it's just let's just check to make sure something's bothering you. But never got an injury report in the sidelines for Brandon Cooks. Speaking of the sidelines, let's get to our extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. I said yesterday, or all week, you're not going to get as many Bills fans in Foxborough. You usually don't. Hot ticket is a tougher stadium with, as far as prices are concerned. And when the Patriots are pretty good, it's even tougher. There was not as many Bills fans, but there were quite a few of them yesterday. And boy, they were really feeling it and hearing it from the Patriots fans. And then, man, did everything swing. It was really interesting watching that happen and unfold behind me, around me, and in the stadium with Bills fans, and the emotional swing of them rising and Patriots fans getting so sad and upset as the game went on. It was really interesting and a very, wow, just a dichotomy of just emotions and juxtaposition, I guess. I'm using way too big of words here. So let's take a timeout here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.